Chris Lopresti joins us now. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. That New Year's party sounds like a good time. I kind of wish I was up in Edmonton tomorrow night.
It'll be a lot of fun, I tell you that. Seth Rogen, actually, a true story. He was here at On the Rocks a few years ago for New Year's. it was a lot of fun, actually. People here having a great time. He's quite the fun Canadian, Seth Rogen. Jets fans likely will be celebrating the New Year like many, and then getting set, of course, for the big game. And the big concern now, and I know Mark Mangiot, my co-host, back at the studio. He's a huge Jets fan. He's like, you know what? They beat the Patriots. Now everyone thinks, oh, God, it's the Jets. They're going to find a way to lose to Rex Ryan and the Bills. How do they avoid having the letdown after defeating the Patriots?
They avoid it by continuing to play football the way they have for over a month now in this five-game winning streak, and that's no self-inflicted wounds. Turnovers, penalties in key spots. They've really taken care of the football nicely, moving it on offense, forcing turnovers at key times on defense. They've had a consistent pass rush. So they've kind of had everything come together for them here during this winning streak. And obviously that's how you end up with a winning streak. But I don't really think this is a matchup, especially with as banged up as the Bills are, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and that they don't really have anything left to play for. I don't think this is a game where the matchup is imposing for the Jets. It's just about making sure they can take care of their business, stick to their game plan, execute, especially in the red zone where they've been so good this year, and I think they'll be just fine.
Chris, this is Todd Bowles' first year as head coach of the New York Jets. In your opinion, what has Bowles done best to get this team knocking on the door of a playoff spot?
He's been himself, and that's a very even-keeled personality. He doesn't get too excited, good or bad, at least publicly. There have been a couple of times we've kind of heard through the grapevine from some of the players. There have been some instances this year where he's gotten angry and upset with them, and I think the biggest message that he was able to get across was after they lost in Houston on the road in the middle of the season to kind of undo a 4-1 start. At that point, they'd lost 4 out of 5. They were back at the 500 mark. Their quarterback, Ryan Fitzpatrick, was playing through a pretty banged-up, damaged left thumb, which he eventually had surgery on, and things just weren't going their way. And he kind of said to them, you know, are we going to put a run together here, or are we going to just be one of these teams that's up and down and finishes the year 8-8. So he kind of challenged them, and they've really responded well to that. So I think he's the kind of guy that he doesn't have a whole lot to say. He doesn't yell a lot. You know, he's not a big on inspirational speeches and screaming and ranting and raving. So when he does speak up and he does have something to say, I think the guys take notice, and they've kind of adapted his personality of just taking it week to week. They don't build up any opponents. You're not going to hear any guys in here this week. Even guys that played for Rex Ryan the last few years say that this one matters more because it's Rex and the Bills. It's just about the Jets finding a way to win one more game so that they can get themselves into the playoffs. So I think Bowles has done a really good job of establishing a new, healthy culture here, and it starts with his personality, and I think that is kind of filtered down throughout the entire roster, which is impressive considering they have some veteran guys that have some different personalities. So overall, it's clicked well. They're playing together as a team right now, and that's what's got them knocking on the door to the playoffs.
We're joined by Chris Lopresti from New York talking Jets and Bills this weekend. If the Jets win, they're in the playoffs. Looking at the stats, Chris, Brandon Marshall's having, stat-wise, obviously one of the best seasons of his career. How important has not only been Marshall to this offense, but they've also had a lot of production from Eric Decker? Ryan Fitzpatrick has had two wide receivers, not something the Jets really haven't had for a long time. So how important have Marshall and both Eric Decker been to the Jets offense?
It's been enormous, and that trio really from day one has clicked. And it's hard to believe because if you go back to training camp, Ryan Fitzpatrick wasn't going to be the starter. We all know Geno Smith was going to be the guy, and we know what happened with him getting punched in the face. So they kind of, those three guys hadn't worked together a lot a couple weeks into training camp, and it was sort of they had to rush that process. And there have been some bumps and bruises and some highs and some lows along the way, but the production for the most part has been very consistent. I mean, Brandon Marshall is basically rewriting the franchise record books here with the season he's put together. With one more touchdown pass, Fitzpatrick becomes the first quarterback in Jet history to throw 30 in the season. And Decker, to me, is sort of the overlooked, unsung hero because, you know, he came here a year ago, big free agency contract, and it was, well, he was going to show everybody now that he could be a number one receiver and that he wasn't just a product of Peyton Manning and that offense there out in Denver with the Broncos when he put up big numbers. And he had a respectable year last year, but, you know, the Jets went 4-12, so it kind of got looked over a little bit. Marshall comes in. He's clearly a number one type receiver, has that sort of personality and certainly the physicality to be that guy. And Decker has slid beautifully in back into this number two role. He's worked a ton out of the slot in Chan Gailey's offense. He has been precision-like, surgical-like, working out of the slot, picking up catches and yardage in the middle of the field. I believe he's the most targeted receiver in the red zone, where he's been extremely productive and consistent. So those two guys have made for two great weapons and great targets for Ryan Fitzpatrick, and it's a big reason why he's putting up some of the best numbers of his career in what has really become sort of a renaissance season for him.
Chris, on the defensive side of the ball, the Jets paid a ton of money to get Darrelle Revis back after 2 years away in New England and Tampa Bay. How has Revis looked in his first season back in gangrene?
I think overall he's been solid. He's probably not the guy he was in his prime when he finished up his first time around with the Jets. You know, maybe the 2010 or 2011 version of Darrelle Revis. 2012 was the year he ripped up his knee, and then 2013 was when they traded him to Tampa. So I still think by most statistical measures, he's one of the top corners in the game. I was tweeting out some stats yesterday. When targeted, he's given up the lowest completion percentage. It's under 50% of balls completed that come his way. Quarterbacks have one of the lowest ratings in the league when targeting him. So he's had a couple of games where maybe he's been exposed a little bit. That Houston game comes to mind. DeAndre Hopkins burned him a couple of times, which, you know, Hopkins has turned into one of the best receivers in the league. So it's nothing to really be embarrassed about. But overall, it's been a solid season for Revis. He's got 5 interceptions. He's got 8 takeaways. Missed a couple of games with a concussion, but since he's come back from that, he's looked himself. And obviously, the Jets have been clicking on all cylinders, both offensively and defensively. And certainly on the defensive side, he's a big part of sort of this remade secondary that was such a struggle for the Jets last year in that 4-12 season. They bring Revis back. They bring Cromartie back. They signed Buster Screen and Marcus Gilchrist, and those guys collectively have operated really well together. And, you know, statistically, they've put up some good defensive numbers this year.
We're joined by Chris Lopresti from WFAN in New York, talking New York Jets. On the defensive line, Sheldon Richardson missed 4 games because of suspension, but watching the Jets-Patriots game this past weekend, I know the Pats' offensive line was banged up, but that defensive line for New York was really having their way with New England. Speaking specifically with Sheldon Richardson, how has he handled, I guess, missing the first 4 games of the season and the distractions that maybe that would cause after? And really, he seemed to be blending in quite fine on that defensive line.
Yeah, he's blended in well. I think he has kind of toned his act down a little bit since coming back from the suspension. I think it humbled him a little bit. And I know that the Jets had reached out to get some help for him internally here with, you know, team doctors, psychologists, whatever you want to call it. It's just kind of have him be able to vent to somebody and talk about some of the off-the-field things that might be going on for him in his head, in his life. So, you know, sometimes that can have an effect on the field, where if you're thinking about all these deep, intricate personal issues, you know, maybe it's not so much a focus thing, but maybe it's just on the field, you're not playing with that same edge. So I think that was something that he kind of had to work through coming off the suspension. And I've noticed his game start to come on here a little bit in the closing weeks. But they still continue to throw a lot on his plate. He's played a lot of reps. He's moved around the field quite a bit. In fact, Todd Bowles has had him standing up at outside linebacker at times in this defense. So they've used him in a lot of roles and in a lot of different ways to give opposing offenses some different looks. And certainly he was a part of that second half pass rush that really gave Tom Brady and the Patriots some trouble over the weekend. And, you know, the Jets can get that consistent pressure up front. Obviously, that's going to do nothing but benefit the guys on the back end and the secondary on their defense.
Chris, the obvious bottom line for me is this. There's been ups and downs with this club, but when it matters, which is now, the Jets are on a roll, and they're on a roll at a time when it's as simple as it gets. Win and you're in. No mathematics with anybody else, no scoreboard watching. Play your game, do what you do, and you're in.
Yeah, and I think that's a credit to what they've done for the past month or so, and that's why every time Todd Bowles gets asked about the playoff scenarios, he says, well, we've kind of been playing playoff games for a month or so now, because they knew with the quality of some of the other teams in the AFC, whether it's the Steelers, whether it's the Chiefs, you know, Bengals and Broncos, they're still leading their division, that, you know, they were going to have to put together a lot of wins, and that 10 wins, maybe even 11 wins up until last week wasn't going to get it done. So, you know, they've really been kind of pressing their foot to the pedal to the metal, or metal to the pedal, I always get that wrong, for about a month here or so, and they put together their best football. So, yeah, the goal is simple this weekend, going up to Buffalo. You know, maybe in years past, as you guys mentioned off the top, the Jets team could knock off the Patriots, and then just when it looks like they're going to get in, they go up and lay an egg against the Bills. But I don't sense that kind of mentality from this team. They have a lot of veterans that have been around, some guys that have been in the playoffs and some who haven't. And mm-hmm. the two key guys who haven't been, who have everything in the world to play for this weekend, are two of their most important pieces on offense. That's Ryan Fitzpatrick and Brandon Marshall. Almost 21 seasons of NFL experience combined now. Neither guy has been to the postseason, so I know this means the world to them. Those guys have been extremely productive during this winning streak, a big reason why the Jets continue to score points and operate efficiently in the red zone, things of that nature. So I'd expect a big game from both of those guys this weekend, and I do think they're going to go up there and get the win in Buffalo.
Well, if they can get the win, obviously Jets fans will be happy. They'll go to the postseason, and it's still undetermined who they would face just yet. So it'll be an interesting weekend in the NFL, in the AFC, and the NFC. Chris, we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. Have a great New Year's.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. You too.